You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamaria, Kuahana Ross, Tokawingawa, and welcome to this week's bits. This week saw a lot of scandal going on in the Beehive, with Baby of the House National Party's MP Todd Barclay being caught out in a secret recording issue, and the Labour Party being accused for an intern scheme of theirs using overseas students for unpaid drudge work. First, let's have a look into National Party's scandal of the week. A newsroom investigation revealed that Clutha Southland MP Todd Barclay secretly recorded a long-standing member of staff amid an employment dispute. Barclay initially denied allegations of the recordings in speaking to Prime Minister Bill English about it. However, Bill English contradicted that in a statement released detailing how the Prime Minister has in fact been told about the recordings almost a year ago. BFM's Adam Jacobson spoke to newsroom investigative journalist Melanie Reid regarding the investigation.
What essentially has happened is that the MP in the Clutha Southland electorate secretly recorded his staff member. And now her name was Glenys Dixon. She'd been working, she'd worked previously for Bill English for 17 years in Gore. And when Barclay became the MP in 2014, her job rolled over and she started working for him.
Right.
Now, what he did is he put what's called, well, the legal term for it is that he used an interception device to record her after there'd been a bit of a debacle over an incident in Queenstown.
What exactly was this incident?
Legally, it's a bit hard for me to talk about some of these things.
Right.
So what I will say to you is that there was an incident in Queenstown or a situation in Queenstown, and that Barclay had a big gig the next day at the Telford University where he was the guest of honour, and he didn't turn up.
Okay.
Now, it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, if you like, because there'd been a whole lot of other incidents. So that's not really the point. The point here is that he used an interception device. So he basically bugged her office.
Mm.
And then he got the information of her talking to constituents about really private information, like private health scenarios, and he got her talking about him and her displeasure, if you like, about what had gone on. He then used that recording against her to try and get her fired, essentially.
Okay.
But the point is that he used an interception device, which is illegal, and it's up to 2 years imprisonment. So I think people remember what happened with the teapot tapes when the guy recorded John Key. We probably also remember about the guy who bugged the All Blacks in Sydney and what happened to him.
Mm.
So the issue here is that he did this, and then very soon after, everybody knew. Parliamentary Services knew, which were Glenys' employer, because Parliamentary Services hire the people that work in the MP's office. Bill English knew, John Key knew, and the board knew.
Right. As I understand it, Bill English and John Key both covered up the fact that they had known about this, with Bill English only recently revealing, actually, I think it was last night, that he had been told of the incident. Why do you think they would hide all of this?
Well, what happened is that when Glenys Dixon found out that she'd been recorded, she went to an employment lawyer, and the employment lawyer was told by Parliamentary Services, yes, there was a recording. And what happened is that part of her severance pay was paid from the Prime Minister's budget, which is highly unusual. Now, John Key, let's not forget, was the Prime Minister at the time. The issue here is that everybody knew, and why did they not just get rid of Barclay there and then?
Mm.
Because you can't be an MP doing sneaky little things like, unlawful things,
yeah,
like bugging your staff's office. So that's the big question. Why why didn't they get rid of him there and then? So what eventuated is a complete debacle in the South Island, in the Clutha South Island electorate, because there were all the people that knew that Glenys had been recorded and went, we can't have an MP that has done this. And then there was all the people that believed Barclay when he stood up on Barefaced Lied and said, I can categorically assure you that I did not do a recording.
Right.
So the story that I did was the proof that there was a recording and the proof that Bill English knew, and the proof that John Key knew, and the proof that the board knew, and that everybody knew, yet there'd been this kind of facade by everyone for the last year saying, oh, it's an employment issue, or, oh, it's, you know, it's a disaffected member of the staff. And when asked directly, you know, about all of this, it was kind of, he just dodged and weaved.
Yeah.
Now, let's not forget, there was then a police investigation, which is part of, you know, my story. So the police then investigate Barclay whether or not he's committed an illegal act. And so there's a kind of big issue here as well. And there's a lot of talk about the police giving him an incredibly soft ride.
We also gained comment from the National Party itself about the situation, with National MP Brett Hudson talking to 95BFM's Tess Barnett.
So is this something the National Party has now recognised that did in fact take place?
Well, what I would comment is that this whole thing is a set of very unfortunate circumstances for everyone involved. I mean, I think, you know, the position Todd has taken is one, as he said in his press release, that he didn't want, as we approach an election, for a story to be taken away from the party or the election campaign. And he made a pretty tough decision, I think, to decide that he wouldn't seek re-election. So I think you'll find the party members and all of us in caucus will be committed and focused 100% on the election as we go through the next 3 months.
Yeah, but I mean, given he is still at this stage the Clutha South Island MP, so why haven't the party kind of taken further disciplinary action towards this MP?
Well, I think given that he won't be seeking re-election, it's difficult for a party to think of a term where a party might take further disciplinary action. He is responsible, as we all are responsible ourselves, for our actions as members of Parliament. But yeah, the party now will be, well, particularly in Clutha Southland, because they will be responsible for doing this themselves, they'll turn their attention now to running a selection process to select a candidate to stand for us in the upcoming election and hopefully to represent Clutha Southland after the 23rd of September.
I mean, given that it's been clearly established that he did in fact break the law and National is our leading government, isn't it a bit important for the party to hold him accountable by sort of making him step down or firing him from his position rather than him stepping down himself?
Well, I think I'd be very careful around terminology such as establishing illegalities. That's a matter for the police. And right at the moment, as I understand from reports in the media, the police are assessing that prior investigation. In any case, I actually don't think we should be making any comment about what something is or isn't. And in actual fact, on that very vein, it would probably be inappropriate, at least in some senses, for the party to look to take action on the basis of an illegality that hasn't been established in the sense of a police investigation yet. Well, but I think what will really be happening is we'll all be focusing instead on the election campaign coming up, and as I say, the members of Clutha Southland will be turning their attention very soon or very shortly to a re-selection process down there.
Well, the Privacy Act does state that some means of collecting information are specifically prohibited. For example, it's an offence to record a conversation unless you're party to that conversation, and he was not party in that conversation, so I mean, that evidence there does indicate that he broke the law.
The establishment of that would be a matter for an investigation by the police. It's not something I can comment on because I wasn't a party to any of that at all. So it would be inappropriate for me to have a position on what might or might not have happened in that electorate or, in fact, in any other than my own.
Prime Minister Bill English has also been accused of covering up the incident, and this is, has this raised any questions over your own party leader's conduct?
Well, actually, as you point out, this has been raised, and it was raised in the House. And I would simply say this, as the Prime Minister has pointed out, that it is very difficult to describe giving a statement to police as a cover-up.
Yeah, but I mean, sort of keeping this quite hush and it, this being the case closed last year when he, there was evidence that Bill English knew that he had recorded the conversation.
Well, actually, if you look at that, it was the police that determined that there was no or insufficient evidence to proceed. So it wasn't the Prime Minister that closed the case.
No, but whether or not they closed the case or not, the Prime Minister still knew what had gone on.
Well, I think he made a statement, and the statement is public. And in that point, it was a statement to police. So at that point, it was for the police to determine whether there were evidence of matters to take further. And when they found that there wasn't sufficient evidence or grounds to go further, actually, I think if you take any employment context at any rate, it would be wrong for the employer then to take it further. And although this isn't the same relationship in the sense that the Prime Minister is not the employer of the members of Parliament and caucus, I actually think you could look at that and say he did his part as a witness, if you will, as a person that had information, but it then became a matter for the police to determine whether it could go further or not, and they determined that there wasn't the evidence to take it further.
Labour Party leader Andrew Little also had something to say about the scandal, except this was about Barclay being the youngest MP at an age of 27. Little was quoted as saying, without being patronising, there are always questions of maturity when you're an MP at that sort of age. Jogay made sure to question Little on this comment.
Now it sounds like you're attributing age to Barclay's failures here. Do you stand by this statement?
Yeah, I think it's taken somewhat out of context. The reality is he's a young guy. His employment relationship seems to break down. I think it reflects on his maturity. I just do. It doesn't excuse it. And he shouldn't be let off the hook because of it. It explains it. And I think that's just a natural human thing. Someone at the age of 24 or 25 put in charge of a bunch of staff who are older than him, it's not an unusual thing, not a good thing. And the fact that the relationships break down in those circumstances is a reflection on his maturity.
But in terms of the issue, it's like he secretly taped someone, he's gotten the Prime Minister to get involved in a cover-up with hush money, and you're saying that the crime here is that he's too young.
No, that is a ridiculous thing to say and a ridiculous conclusion to draw from my comment. What I've said is, it reflects on the fact that the relationships broke down in the way they did, reflects on his maturity. That's all. It doesn't excuse it. It doesn't excuse what he's done at all. If anybody draws that, because I know there was a bit of a fuss on Twitter. I mean, unfortunately, you do get blockheads on Twitter. People don't really know what they're talking about. I've had a professional lifetime dealing with employment issues. I've seen things break down. I understand, you know, human failings and human foibles. I've seen it, and it is not a proper thing to comment that a person at the age of 24 who has a series of professional relationship breakdowns may not have the maturity to conduct those relationships.
Right, but this kind of brings up a question of, you know, is this how you feel about your own youth MPs then?
That is another ridiculous question. A comment about Todd Barclay is not a comment about every 24-year-old or 25-year-old who is in charge of people.
But you're relating age to maturity here. I'm not sure.
You are. I've talked about maturity, you know, and you can, you know, and other people will think all sorts of weird and wonderful things. It is not out of the realms of possibility that somebody that age, dealing with staff and being responsible for staff, is not mature enough to conduct those sorts of relationships.
Right.
No one is going to tell me that every 24-year-old and every 25-year-old is capable of, is mature enough to have the kind of relationships that you need to function in that sort of environment. Anybody who did suggest that, of course, is completely off the planet. That doesn't mean that because he doesn't have the maturity, I am saying that every young person at that age or every young MP can't conduct those relationships. That is a bizarre conclusion to draw.
With all this National Party Todd Barclay situation going down, we also had a discovery this week of the Labour Party as they were then under fire for a Labour-linked election campaign which exploited interns. Dozens of interns who were a part of the program Campaign for Change complained about substandard living conditions. We heard exclusively from one of these interns who wishes to stay anonymous. Here is the interview with said intern and 95BFM's Harry Willis, with the intern's answers being read by 95BFM member in order to keep anonymity.
What's going on?
Basically, I don't even know where to start. The story broke this morning. I didn't leak it, and it's not the full narrative, and it's not the truth. As of now, I've been reading every article that's been published and stuff, and it's just not true. I am probably the one who knows the most about the situation for certain reasons, and I would just say that it's not the Labour Party's fault. It's Matt McCartan, Paul Chalmers, Simon Mitchell, Caitlin Johnson, Kieran O'Halloran. They kind of organised on their own, lied to the Labour Party, went off and said they were bringing over 15 Americans to work on campaigns, and really tried to bring over 115 at peak capacity, and then just kept on bringing people from the US, the UK, Ireland, Italy. It was mostly a way to exploit. We were meeting their targets for phone calls and door knocks, and then for Matt McCartan. We were going to work for labour unions and increase the participation with those labour unions. So there's just a lot of shady shit up in the air right now.
Those four names, do they work for the Labour Party?
Caitlin Johnson, Kieran O'Halloran, and they were the only official paid staffers for the Labour Party. That may have changed within the last couple of days, I'm unsure. Matt McCartan was the former chief of staff. He's resigned, and has been playing it off like he hasn't been involved at all. Paul Chalmers is the regional chair for Auckland, so he's supposed to help campaigns all kind of organise together. Other than that, he doesn't have authority for the Labour Party. Those are the key people who are being left out of this statement, and I think it's for a reason. The people who leaked it are damage controlling. A lot of the narrative right now is around immigration policy and stuff like that, and they're really missing a lot of the legality issues of everything that they've done.
Why do you think they're being left out of the narrative?
I think that Caitlin and Kieran came forward to the media and leaked, and tried to blame it all on Matt McCartan. None of these people are good people, and they all exploited us. But I think they're trying to push the blame off of them, and more onto Matt.
So how have you been exploited? So how did you hear about coming to New Zealand to volunteer? Are you a volunteer for the Labour Party?
Allegedly. So they sent out emails to our advisors at university, that they spoke with professors in New Zealand. And so my advisor recommended this one to me, was like, this is a safe program, go ahead, go. And so I was like, okay, I'll go over. I was brought under the idea that there would only be like 15 people, and I'd only work 40 hours a week, and the accommodation would be like dorm-style accommodation with basic groceries provided, because that's literally what's written down on our contract that they made me. And so generally, everyone got lied to in different ways, because there are so many people involved in it. But like, it's hard to get one strict clear narrative, because they keep on changing it on these different groups of people, because they split up emailing groups into different categories and stuff like that.
So it's very intentional that they've done this?
Yep, it's very intentional, without a doubt.
So what were the conditions like when you arrived?
When I arrived, no one was actually in Auckland. I didn't actually know where I was going. And I didn't know if anyone was actually picking me up from the airport or not. Luckily, I got picked up and dropped off at somebody's house, and so that was fine. But that was not made known to me before coming over, and that I would be living with some random person for a little bit. And then we moved to a marae where we had to build cubicles out of plastic, and we also raided this abandoned church for furniture and stuff like that. And basically, we made our own accommodation out of like abandoned materials and plastic. It's a very odd situation.
Yeah, definitely sounds like it. Do you have anything else that you want to add?
Mostly, this is not the Labour Party's fault. It really isn't. They're honestly trying their best and doing as much as they can at their full capacity right now, and I'm really appreciative of it. I just wish these people didn't lie to us in the first place.
That was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the BCasts.
That was a 95bfm podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/BCasts.